Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. When it comes to breast cancer, as it is with other cancers, early detection and effective treatment provide the best chance of survival. At Susan G. Komen San Diego, they're all about elevating the women and men directly impacted by breast cancer by providing services to assist their most critical needs during treatment. Joining us this morning is Susan G. Komen San Diego President and CEO Shayna Gross, Radiation Oncology Director at the Laurel Amtower Cancer Institute and Neuro-Oncology Center, Dr. Siavash Jabari, and Susan G. Komen San Diego 2018 Honorary Breast Cancer Survivor, Lillian Van Vliet Gray. We are going to talk about a big event that Susan G. Komen is having in April.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but first I want to talk about the organization.
Great.
Susan G. Komen San Diego, and a lot of folks are aware of the organization. Maybe there's some that may be listening this morning that don't know much about it, about what you do. So why don't we get a little background information?
I think you're right. A lot of people have seen our pink ribbon or have seen us walking. We walk 5Ks, we walk 3 days, but not a lot of people know the true work that Susan G. Komen does in our community. So we have been here in San Diego since 1995, and we offer local programs and services for people who are either in treatment for breast cancer or who just need screening. So that's a range of things from going out and providing education on the importance of getting your annual mammogram, on some of the signs and symptoms to look for, genetics and things, you know, what increases your risk of breast cancer. We also host community mammogram events where we offer free mammograms for eligible patients, women and men, throughout the community. And we will pay for not just your mammogram, but any follow-up diagnostic care that you might need, if that's a biopsy or an MRI or an ultrasound, which can be really expensive. So we want to make sure that people are finances aren't the reason that somebody isn't getting a diagnosis. And then once somebody is diagnosed, we want to make sure they can complete treatment. So all of those barriers of, you know, maybe you are going through treatment and you can't work, so rent comes due or utilities come due and it's really hard to make ends meet, Komen will step in and help with that. We pay for transportation to and from your doctor's appointments. We pay for childcare. We just recently had a woman who was needed to have a surgery, and she has young children, and she was postponing the surgery because she had no one to take care of her kids. Hmm. Komen paid for her sister to fly out to take care of her children so that she could get her surgery. So it's those things that you can't submit and claim to your insurance company,
right,
but are really critical to actually beating this disease.
And what's the mission at Susan G. Komen?
So our mission is twofold. One is to provide all of those services here in the community, but also to invest in breakthrough research to make sure we're working our way toward finding the cures to breast cancer.
And the big question that I know others probably have too.
Sure.
Who is Susan G. Komen?
Well, Susie was a real person who had breast cancer. She was a single mom, and she unfortunately passed away from breast cancer in her 30s. And her sister, Nancy Brinker, made a promise to her that she would do her damnedest to make sure that nobody else died from this disease. And so her sister started the organization, Susan G. Komen.
And this is a national organization, isn't it?
It is, yes. We have over 60 affiliates throughout the country, and we're lucky enough here to have one in San Diego.
And an interesting fact that about Susan G. Komen, I always like to point out, because this isn't the first time Susan G. Komen has been on the show, but it is the largest nonprofit funder of breast cancer research outside of the U.S. government, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we invest millions and millions of dollars every year in research, much of which comes back to San Diego because we have such great research institutions here like UCSD and Salk and Sanford Burnham Prebys. So we're really lucky that we have some of those bright minds right here in San Diego.
And all the services that you do provide, free, right?
Yes.
From transportation, mammograms, everything?
Everything is free.
Okay, and let's talk about some of those services. Again, we're going to talk about your big event coming
sure
up in April in a little bit, but first let's talk about those services that you do provide. Mammograms,
How often do you do, or do you have events where mammograms are given?
So there are a couple of ways that that works. One, we do have events throughout the year where you can come and get a free mammogram. So we have a large event each year in May with the Padres. So we're down at Petco Park on a non-game day, and you can come and get a free mammogram there. We also have specific community events where we partner with a mobile mammography coach that comes out into the community. So we are about every other month over in Southeast San Diego. We do some events down in San Ysidro. I mentioned the Padres event. We're up in North County. So those are all on our website at comensandiego.org. And you can see where we're having events. And if we're not there with the mammogram coach, we are there providing education and outreach, and we can make you an appointment for the following month when the coach will be there.
So you don't do any mammograms at Susan G. Komen?
Not in our offices, no. We are not medical professionals,
right.
So we just bring all of the partners out into the community. We're trying to overcome some of those barriers where, you know, women, primarily women, are the ones who are getting breast cancer, although men can get breast cancer. But, you know, women are very busy, and we're always busy taking care of everybody else in our lives. And so you tend to put yourself last. And so we want to sort of remove some of those barriers to care. So by going out to where women live, work, play, and pray, and providing this education, we have seen an increase in our screening rates and early diagnosis, which is really incredible.
Are there any special requirements for someone to get a mammogram, age or anything like that?
So it varies. It's recommended that you start getting a mammogram once a year after the age of 40, unless you have a family history or if you're experiencing symptoms before the age of 40, then you should absolutely get checked. And so we have those same requirements for the women that we will pay for. We also have some income restraints. So we will pay for people who are at 350% of the federal poverty level or below. And that includes people who have insurance. So somebody may be what we call underinsured, where they have insurance, but maybe their copay or their deductible is really high, and that's what's preventing them from going out and getting that screening. Typically, a mammogram is covered, but it's the additional things that, like a biopsy or what's called a diagnostic mammogram, that has additional cost that isn't always fully covered.
And Dr. Jabari, can you tell us a little bit, explain what a mammogram is?
Yes, a mammogram is a screening tool, basically. It's been around for decades, and essentially it's very low-dose, very safe x-rays of the breast. And generally it's used in two general ways. One is diagnosing or surveillancing for a breast cancer that we have already identified, but more commonly, and very importantly, it's used for screening for breast cancer. We know that it improves outcomes. We know that it allows detection of breast cancer at much earlier ages, and that allows for much more effective and much less invasive treatment for the women that appropriately get mammograms.
And again, how often should somebody get one?
So the general recommendations for an average healthy person is once a year. There are some special situations where more often mammograms for certain situations may be needed, and or adding MRI scans for certain patients as higher risk. But generally once a year for most women is the recommended interval.
And again, men can get breast cancer.
That's absolutely right. And just like women, just like all of us, we should always be aware of our bodies. So just because we don't have quote-unquote breasts doesn't mean that if we notice a lump, we should ignore it. Certainly goes double for or triple for women because it's much more common in women.
So what are some of the symptoms of breast cancer? What should people look for outside of a lump?
So first of all, a lump, as you mentioned, in the breast, but also in the areas where lymph nodes can occur related to breast cancer. So under the arm, above and below the collarbone. If in an adult a lump occurs there that doesn't go away, that should definitely be looked into with a medical professional. The other things to look into is an unusual new nipple discharge, especially if it's bloody. That's something that definitely needs to be looked into. Changes in the color or texture or firmness of the skin of the breast. And finally, any other unusual symptoms like pain or especially back pain that's not going away, those kinds of symptoms that are unusual and persisting should be brought up to your physicians.
And I know it's always something that's been brought up every time I do a show on health, cancer, no matter what cancer it is, that if it's something that's not normal for you,
yeah,
get it checked. right?
That's absolutely right. Being aware of your body, and nobody knows your body better than you do, and you're always your own best advocate. And so, unfortunately, one of the things that sometimes we do see is patients do notice something, and they do bring it up to a provider, and they're sort of dismissed just because a lot of times it is really nothing. But if you know something's not right, be persistent and really push the issue if you have to, and advocate for yourself.
Oh, better safe than sorry, right?
Absolutely.
Shanda, tell us about the Breast Health Diagnostic Services Program that you have at Susan G. Komen.
Sure. So as Dr. Jabari mentioned, sometimes you need an MRI or an ultrasound to further get more information and to find out, you know, what's going on in the breast. And so often those can be expensive costs and aren't fully covered by insurance. And so you would get a referral from your physician saying that you need this MRI or, you know, whatever the recommended diagnostic testing is. And then bring it to the imaging facility, and the imaging facility bills Komen instead of billing the patient. And so we pay for those patients that don't have a means to pay for it themselves.
And your website is a great source for information.
Yes.
I was checking that out the other day. Great information on all that you do,
mm-hmm.
And all the partners. You have a lot of partners. You can't do what you do without them,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a ton of partners. We actually host what's called a Breast Health Collaborative meeting quarterly, and there are about 50 to 60 people that come to that meeting each quarter, and it is the case managers, the patient navigators, physicians, patients themselves, all the people who are coming, outreach workers, health educators, coming to learn from each other, and we really pride ourselves in bringing all of those folks together so they can share best practices, share some of the challenges that they've had. And so we partner with all of the local hospitals. We partner with all the local imaging centers. We have, you know, 45 different contracts of people. We'll pay your bill at 45 different places. So it's important for us that, you know, where you live, how much money you make, what color your skin is, those should not determine how the tools that you have to fight breast cancer.
And again, you offer everything from mammograms, biopsies, ultrasounds to financial assistance.
Yes. And we've also done a lot of work at the state level around advocacy and expanding the laws that protect and cover women. So we had some great successes last year in expanding the coverage of who can actually be treated through the state-funded program. So that's been really great as well, and helps us expand the reach and the coverage for people in California.
And you are there for the entire journey.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, from just educating you about, you know, go get your screening if you haven't had one, all the way through all of the diagnostic steps. And then if you are diagnosed, you know, how can we help you and complete your treatment, whether that's providing a wig for an interview or, like I said, you know, maybe you need a lift back and forth from your doctor's appointment. Or we had a woman who, Lily is her name, she was in Campo and she was being treated at Grossmont, and she had to go 3 days a week for her treatment, and she was driving back and forth from Campo to Grossmont. And finally she said, you know, I can't afford the gas to be going back and forth anymore, and I'm exhausted, and, you know, I don't feel healthy enough to be driving back and forth. So we did the math, figured out what the gas would cost, got her a bunch of gas cards, and then got her a hotel room for those nights in between, so she didn't have to be driving back and forth, so she could go and relax and wake up the next morning and go back to treatment. And I think for her, what a relief that is, you know, to somebody who is, you know, paycheck to paycheck and not sure. She kept saying, I've never called in sick for a day in my life. How am I going to do that? And so we were able to help her through that whole process.
Do you ever follow up with these people
Absolutely.
Afterwards?
Yeah, that's how we know a lot of these stories. Yeah, is that we get to meet these folks, and you know, it's really incredible. We reach out to people. People come to us. Komen is a bit of a family, and so it's a place where you can find people that have a shared experience and who have been through what you have been through. And so our walk, you know, we have 9,000 people that come out that morning, and that's because it's your part of a. It's just a really emotional movement, and Lillian can talk more about that. But, you know, that's where we first saw Lillian popping up and reached out and said, hey, can we learn more about you and what's going on with you? And so we, you know, we have people who call us all the time saying, I was just diagnosed. I'm really scared. I'm overwhelmed. What should I do?
That's what I did.
Yeah. And so that's how people come into our world, or they call because they have a really specific need. So absolutely, we try to keep in touch with as many of them as we can.
So Lillian, when were you first diagnosed?
July of 2017.
Do you mind sharing your story?
Sure. One thing I want to point out, you mentioned earlier about lumps, and I didn't have a lump. I, you know, probably, I'd say it was like my thumb, and I had some lymph nodes that were swollen, but I didn't think anything of it because I had always been told that you need to look for a lump, and
right.
So that wasn't a lump, so no big deal, right? And I really couldn't feel anything of significant, and my doctor kept pushing me to have my annual mammogram and my other testing. And so I went ahead and did that, and she called and said, you know, we need to do some additional testing. And I didn't really think much about it because I had dense breasts, and when you have dense breasts, you can have a lot of false positives.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, I've had many false positives, and so I was like, oh, okay, next time for that one. And did that, and then they came in and said, well, it doesn't look good, but we're going to need to do some additional testing, and we'll get back to you. And when they got back to me, I happened to be in an airport in Panama, and the results popped up on my phone, on my app, and there it was, my diagnosis.
What was that like for you, getting that kind of diagnosis?
It was horrible.
Especially at that time.
Yeah, you know, I'm a religious person, so I think actually it happened for a reason. I think God did it on purpose. I was actually heading to a family reunion in South America, and I was going to be meeting up. There's only one flight in, and I was meeting up with several of my family members from all over the world, and we were all going to get on the same plane to fly in. So about an hour before that happened, and I was meeting up with my mom, my sister, my cousins, and everyone else, I get the diagnosis. And so I thank God it was in divine intervention that I had an hour to freak out and cry in the airport and then had someone come say, it's okay, we've got you, we'll make this together. Yeah, and being surrounded by everyone.
And what did Susan G. Komen, how did they help you through this?
You know, when this first happened, we were very uncertain about a lot of things. I had headaches, and which probably was just stress at the time, but really good doctors. And they said, well, let's check, make sure you don't have brain cancer. Let's make sure it hasn't. We don't know where it's gone, so let's, you know, do some additional testing. And there's a period of time while we're waiting for the test to come back from, you know, the original MRI thought they saw something on my liver, and so they were like, well, you may have it on your liver, it may be in your brain, but let's just find out and let's do the test, and then we'll figure out a treatment plan from there. So you've got this period of time where you're trying to wait to find out what your treatment plan is going to be and what your diagnosis is, and you don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know who I can talk to for second opinions. Should I get a second opinion? I don't know. Will I live? Will I die? And, you know, you have a lot of things about all of a sudden you start, you know, doing the whole evaluation of the life that you've lived, and I'm not going to be here to see my grandchildren. And my husband actually called Komen because he was at his wit's end with me being hysterical and said, okay, well, there's an organization out there that's all they do, and they specialize in, maybe they can tell us, you know, help us. And they were very supportive and very kind, and gave us some direction, and they had a lot of information about best practices and what to expect, and that really helped calm me down and helped us at least to be able to have an idea of what our treatment plan was going to be and what to expect when we're going to the doctor, what to ask, and the things that we should do.
And Dr. Jabari, you were one of Lillian's doctors, weren't you?
I was. I had the pleasure of helping Lillian and her family through this difficult time, and I do have to say that it really is a privilege working with all patients and being in this trusted position of helping cancer patients, but especially somebody like Lillian. She really is she's not only an honorary survivor for Komen, but she was a model patient too. And what I mean by that is advocating for yourself, really seeking out what you really want and communicating that with your team. Lillian's so good at giving feedback. Even yesterday she was giving us some feedback about certain things that we can do better. And we really learned from that and help improve things for the next patient, which is important. I always encourage second opinions, and Lillian was very good in doing that and really making sure that she communicates what her needs and what her wants are to the treatment team so we could do a better job for her.
And what was her treatment?
Well, so like most patients who are fortunately diagnosed when the disease has not yet spread outside the chest and lymph nodes, Lillian's treatment, I hope you don't mind me sharing, was a combination of radiation and chemo and surgery, which is typically what's done for many, not all, but many breast cancers. And she did wonderfully well during that treatment.
And how are you today?
I am well. As a matter of fact, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, I have two things to celebrate. One, I have a wonderful husband, but the other is the day that I got the phone call saying that my biopsy results had come back and I didn't have any breast cancer.
So cancer-free.
Cancer-free.
That's great news.
Yes.
Now, you've got a big event coming up in April. This is something you've been doing for several years, if I'm not
this
mistaken.
This will be the fifth year.
But you've got a new name this year.
Yeah, so it's called the More Than Pink Annual Dinner. We want people to know that we are more than pink. as we mentioned, you know, people know the pink ribbon, and pink is a powerful color, but we are more than just a color. And this is a way to really celebrate the 41,000 women and men that we lose each year to this disease. Unfortunately, that's one woman a day here in San Diego County. Six women a day in San Diego are diagnosed with breast cancer every day. And so this event is, I keep saying it is fun and inspiring with a little side of education. So we will have some of our partners that we mentioned earlier coming out and sharing, you know, the latest breakthroughs, how they're using magnets to detect if there are cancer cells in your lymph nodes, how hand strength can be an indicator of how successful you will be through a breast cancer treatment. So really, you know, interesting things. And then we'll be hearing from both Lillian and Dr. Jabari about their, you know, personal journey and those two sides of that journey of the patient and the physician. We have cocktails. We have a great dinner planned. We have experiential art where people will get to learn more about Komen, but also kind of it's interactive. And so it should be a very exciting evening. We'll have a pink pop-up shop. So just in case you dared to show up without any pink on, we can help you with that.
We'll take care of it.
Yes, we'll have a photo booth. So it's really a wonderful event, and it's a great opportunity to help us raise some money for all of those services that we provide throughout the year, learn something, and support your fellow San Diegans who have, you know, bravely fought this disease.
So all the money that's raised will go back to Susan G. Komen San Diego, right?
Yes, absolutely. The way that our model works is all of the money that we raise, 75% stays local for those programs and services that I just described, and then 25% goes to our national organization and is invested in research, and much of that ends up coming back to San Diego because we have lots of smart people here.
So what is the date? For this?
April 11th.
And where?
And it'll be in La Jolla at the Hyatt Aventine, and it's from 5 to 9 p.m. And you can buy tickets or tables or be a sponsor, all by going to komensandiego.org.
And Dr. Jabari and Lillian, you both will be there. You'll
yes.
be sharing your story then,
yes,
Lillian?
Yes, I will be.
And you'll be giving the physicians perspective on everything.
I will be there mostly as support for this, these wonderful ladies, and whatever little help I can do, I'd be happy to.
Okay, and there's another event that's coming up also, and that is a Facebook Live event, isn't it?
Yeah, so we have a metastatic breast cancer conference coming up on March 5th, and it is seats away from being sold out. And so we are offering it on Facebook Live. So metastatic breast cancer is when the breast cancer has spread beyond the breast and is now in other parts of the body. And as I mentioned, 41,000 people a year die from this disease, and that is due to metastatic breast cancer. It's stage 4. And so we want to make sure that we are putting a specific focus on metastatic breast cancer. It's different. It's not treatment and then you get to celebrate your, you know, wonderful anniversary of no evidence of disease. This is something you're going to live with, and you will die from this breast cancer. And so folks are hungry for learning about clinical trials. What are the newest breakthroughs? Because it is those breakthroughs that keep them alive over and, you know, and over again. We hear of people who are given a few years to live and then got on a clinical trial, and now all of a sudden it's been 10 years and they're still thriving. And so this conference is about what is the emerging breakthrough around metastatic breast cancer, as well as things for a patient like nutrition and exercise and healthy lifestyle and how that can help you manage the disease and how you manage having breast cancer in the workplace. So we have a presentation from a group called Cancer and Careers. And what does that look like? What are your legal rights? But also, how can you try to work with your employer to make things better for everybody? So we know that not everybody will be able to come to the event. So we're offering it on Facebook as a Facebook Live event so that you can watch on March 5th from 7:30 in the morning until 1:30 p.m.
Okay, and there's nothing that anybody has to do.
Just log on. Go on Facebook. You're probably already there.
Yeah. If somebody wants to help you with your mission at Susan G. Komen, can they do that at your website with a donation?
Absolutely, yes. We love donations. We love volunteers, advocates, patient advocates. If you want to share your story with us, we would love to hear from you. So you can go to komensandiego.org. You can email us at info@sdkomen.org. Either of those will work.
What about volunteers?
Same thing. Yeah, volunteers. We have a volunteer link on our website that you can sign up, and we're happy to connect you. We always need volunteers at our events, at our community events. We had two volunteers in the office helping us put together our art exhibit. I won't say too much, but there was a lot of pink origami going on.
Yeah. So. Lillian, any advice for anybody listening this morning?
Yeah, we always say know your normal. If you think anything is unusual or out of place or doesn't seem right, talk to your doctor, talk to your physician, and be your own advocate. If something doesn't seem right, it probably isn't right. It's up to you to fight for yourself.
So again, the Facebook Live event is March 5th.
Yes, March 5th.
And your
More Than Pink.
More Than Pink annual dinner,
yes.
April 11th.
Exactly.
Information about both of those at your website?
Yep, comansandiego.org.
And are you on social media?
Oh, yes. We're all over Facebook and Instagram, Twitter. So, yeah, you can find us there.
Great. Shana, Dr. Jabari, and Lillian, thanks for being on the show this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Lillian, thanks for sharing your story. It's appreciated. Continued good health to you. Shana and Dr. Jabari, thank you for all you do to help those through the breast cancer journey. It's appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Rain's Therapeutic Horsemanship Program. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.